this morning will be Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which in his body is fullness of him who fills all in all. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunity we have to worship God in spirit and truth. If you're visiting with us, very glad that you've come our way and had safe travel. Certainly, there's a few things that are on my mind. Number one is we're doing that Back to Bible Bible study in our Sunday morning Bible class. And we're very close to wrapping that up. And I've been approached by probably four or five people outside of that class in relation to that study. If you have any questions at any point, please approach me. I am in a little bit of a time crunch. I'm trying to wrap it up by next week. And so I don't always get a hit on everything that I want to hit on and address everything that I want to address. But if you have any questions of any type, any questions about the Bible, Old and New Testament, questions about the church, questions about salvation, your spiritual condition, certainly any of those we would love to talk to you about. With an open Bible, and certainly look and see what the Bible has to say about those things. So I know that sometimes it might be intimidating to talk to a preacher. I try not to be intimidating, but we have very good men and women here that would love to answer your questions and pull you to the side and answer any of those if you have those. So just keep that in mind as we are wrapping up that study. I can't hit on all questions and clarify all things, but anything, please just know I would love to discuss any of those with you. Number two is we've got BBS coming up. And we've had some people make some donations, and we will have shirts again for BBS. If you're interested in a shirt, please let us know your size. Particularly our young people are the ones that we're really focused upon. But if you know any young people, grandkids, great-grandkids that are going to be coming, if you can give us their name and their size, we'll try to make sure that those are made. Sarah's going to be trying to make an order this afternoon, and I think we have a team of the ladies that might be assembling sometime next week to try to work. Those ladies volunteering their time really takes down the cost on those shirts, and it's very nice what those ladies do to kind of help in that with the shirts, and that's very nice for the kids and BBS. So on to our lesson. You know, the image behind you probably got to see a few times, whether in history class or, you know, and if you think about that, it was used in World War I and also, I believe, for a period of World War II. But it's a strong message. It's a direct message. And, of course, I kind of edited the text a little bit, but we do need you. Well, in what respect, to what capacity, we need you to be part of the body of Christ. We certainly need you to be part of the church of Christ. We need you to be part of the kingdom. And sometimes when you think about the church, when we look through Scripture, we're going to dwell on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the church is really compared to a human body. And we need you to understand, we all need to understand that we who have been added to the body of Christ, added to the church, everyone is so needed. Now, we don't serve all the same functions. Some of us are more public, some of us are more private, but us together, we make up the church, and we need you. We need you desperately. We need you to be the best version of yourself for Jesus Christ. We need you to grow. We need you to look after the body. We need you to help the body. We need you to assist the body. There's a lot that needs to be done. Our reading in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, it discusses the idea of Jesus being head over all things to the church, which is his body. I want you to think about the church, and when you think about the church today, I do want you to think about the body. I want you to think about a human body. And that's really the comparison that's made in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This idea of the church is a body. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, it talks about this idea that Jesus is the Savior of the body. Also the idea that Jesus is the head of the body. And we find that in Ephesians chapter 5. We can find it in Ephesians chapter 1. But think about the church as a human body. The human body is amazing. In Psalm 139 and verse 14, the Bible says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. When you think about the human body, it really is an amazing thing. It is something that very clearly we can see the design, and even the human body, I believe, stands in objection to evolution. Because evolution, what you need is a whole lot of time, and you don't have a whole lot of time with the human body. If I put my hand over your mouth and nose and deprive you of oxygen, you're not going to make it too long. Because that oxygen goes into your lungs. And there from your lungs, it goes into your bloodstream. And in order for your blood to go across your body, you need your heart. And you have all these blood vessels across your heart. And that blood's going to do no good if you don't have any skin, if you don't have any flesh. And then you need energy for all of that. So you have to eat food. You understand how connected the human body is. The heart is not the lungs, but the lungs without the heart doesn't do too much good. You know, the lungs kind of help get that oxygen in. But without the heart, the blood with that oxygen doesn't get anywhere. And you would die. The body is so dependent on itself in many ways. Now, when the church is compared to the human body, it says Christ is head of the church. But we understand that we as Christians, baptized through the remission of sins, Acts chapter 2, and we're added to the church, we're added to the body. You understand that you're part of the body of Christ. You're part of the church of Christ. You're part of the body. And we need you to do whatever your part is in the body. Now, not all parts are the same, and we're going to see that, but they are needed. But understand that the body is so dependent on itself. Where would we be without some of the members of our body? We'd be in trouble. Just like the human body, if the human body has a problem with the heart or the lungs or with our hands or with our feet, it almost affects the whole body. We need each and every one who is part of the Lord's body to do that which is needed, that which falls in our realm of talent and ability. The first thing I'd like to look at and think about is you just think about our human body. How dependent it is on itself. You think about when it's sick and how the body tries to repair itself. How the body will compensate if one area of the body is hurt. We need every part of the body to be working in unison. You think about the human body, even when you are poisoned or you get some food poisoning, that affects the whole body. And we need to understand, as we're thinking about a physical body, and we start thinking about the spiritual body, and we try to make this comparison, so many things match up. We can see how the systems are independent, interdependent, and we see also the idea of, what do you think the body should be consuming? We think of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, desire that pure milk of the word. You know, when we're eating good things, our body is healthy. When we're eating bad things, a lot of times that affects our body. You understand that the church, the spiritual body, when we eat good things, we're healthier. When members of the Lord's church consume bad things, we consume the world and worldliness, it comes into the church and it can make the church sick and it can give the church a headache. It can give God a headache sometimes. You think about that physical body, but I also really want to focus in on this morning on the spiritual body. The spiritual body needs food just like the physical body needs food. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, that idea of desiring that pure milk of the word. You know what? A physical body needs exercise, but you know what? The spiritual body needs exercise. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, written to the church, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. Now you think about that for a second. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And it's come to need milk and not solid food. For solid food belongs to those who are full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between both good and evil. A physical body needs good food. A physical body needs exercise. And you know what? A spiritual body, the Lord's church, the congregation here at Sandyville, we need good food. We need good spiritual food. And we also need spiritual exercise to discern between good and evil. And if we don't get those things, we're not going to be as strong as we could be. Let's talk about that spiritual body of Christ. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 13, we kind of start to get a little bit of picture there. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit you are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. There's a few things I want to take away from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 13, is there is one body. There is one body. And we can see that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. God giving the head over all things of the church, which is his body. You see, singular. You get it over to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, it says there is one body. Well, it just told you in chapter 1 of Ephesians, the body is the church. And we get over to Ephesians chapter 4, it says there's one body. There is one church. It's the church of the Bible. It's the church we read about. It's the church that we see individuals being added to. And certainly we don't want to add to or take away from God's Word, because what happens is we're not really being the body that is described in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, he says, on this rock I will build my church. We have this idea of singular. And a lot of times people will try to mess around with the body. They'll try to mess around with the church and say the church can have all kinds of heads. What kind of body would that be? A body with all kinds of heads, four or five heads. Oh, that's okay. That's not okay. The Bible describes the church as one body, and it says the head is Jesus Christ. We have the head Jesus Christ, and then we have the body. And we see one. One head, one body. It's actually a very clear picture, but there's some in the religious world that says, oh, you can have a whole lot of heads. You can't have a whole lot of heads, and you can't have a whole lot of bodies either. You can't have one head and all kinds of bodies, because the religious world tries to tell us that sometimes. Oh, yeah, we're all following Jesus, but there's all these different paths, there's all these different ways. Is that what's said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14? Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It says, enter by the narrow way. But wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leads to destruction, there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. There is one body. And really, what the religious world tries to sell us so many times doesn't even make sense. They have a body running around with a whole bunch of heads on it, or they have one head and they've got all these bodies running around. Doesn't make sense. One head, one body, and you know what? This body should be doing what God has asked. This body has the blood of Christ. We think of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, writing to the elders. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The church that has Jesus' head, it has his blood. It's bought, it's paid for, it's his body. The church of Christ, the church of the Bible, has Jesus' blood flowing through the veins. And that blood protects. That blood brings life. There's a lot of individuals that are running out, are running around in the world. They don't have any blood. Jesus purchased the church. And we see in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, we see the idea that there are many members, but they make up the body. We have a heart, we have lungs, we have eyes, we have ears, we have hands, all these things. There are many members, but they make up that one body. And we need to understand that you are a part of that body. And it's important how you conduct yourself, it's important how you act, and it's important what you contribute to the body. It's important what the heart contributes to the body. It's important what the lungs contribute to the body. There are all these pieces working together. Now, I can't spend a whole lot of time this morning, but when you look at verse 13, and we start reflecting and we start looking at that, I don't want to dwell on it a long time, but if you have any questions, certainly I can answer those. It says, for by one Spirit you are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit. You know, you start looking there, sometimes people say that this is in reference to, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's one baptism, and I think we can see it consistently throughout the Scriptures, but when it mentions the Spirit, how did we get the Word of God? We got the Word of the God through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspires a man, and really the power is in the Word of God. When we see what God says and we comply with what God has said, certainly there is saving power there. I think of James chapter 1 and verse 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. Well, how did we get the implanted Word? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired those individuals to give us that inspired word. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 through 23, we see in verse 23 in particular, it says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which saves and abides forever. Certainly you see the idea in verses 12 and 13 that there is one body. And as we continue on, we're going to see that there's many members of the body. Let's see what's going on here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 and following. I think we're going to read a section here of just 15 and 16 to get us started here. Well, verse 14, it says, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So this body, the church of the Lord, the head is Jesus, but it has many members. And it says, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" You know, you think about verses 15 and 16, what we see is there are differences within the Lord's church. And I think these differences can actually be used to the church's advantage. There are weaknesses that I have, and there are weaknesses that I have. I have strengths and weaknesses. And we all have strengths and weaknesses, but what is interesting is when we come together as the body of Christ, we don't all fulfill the exact same role, but we are incredibly important to one another. But you start thinking about verses 15 and 16, sometimes individuals will get down on themselves, and because perhaps they don't feel like they have a public role in the Lord's church, or they don't feel like what they're doing is being seen, sometimes they'll get down on themselves. And I think that's almost what you see in verses 15 and 16. It says that the foot should say, because I'm not the hand. The foot's looking at the hand, says, look at the hand. You know, look at everything that the hand does. The hand gets all the attention, but the foot gets no attention. Both are important. Both are incredibly important. In fact, without the foot, how is the hand going to get where it needs to go to do something? And without the hand, you can go places, but if you don't have any of that action, we are dependent on one another. Do you understand that we need you? We need you here at Sandyville so desperately. When you think of the body of Christ, are we better with you or without you? We're better with you, there's no doubt. We're better with you and the talents that you bring to Sandyville. And it's not that we all have the same talents, I understand that, but I can tell you this, God has given you some talents. In Matthew chapter 25, we have the parable of the talents. And the master is leaving, and he's going to a faraway country, and it says he leaves his servant's talent. And he leaves some different talents. And the expectation, when the master returns home, is they have taken those talents, they have utilized it, and they have grown. I can't tell you today that I know exactly what your talents are, but I can tell you have some talents. And we need you here at Sandyville. We need you here at Sandyville. You might not be the hand, but you're important. You might not be the foot, but you're important. The diversity of the Lord's church is one of its greatest strengths. And it's been one of the church's greatest strengths from the beginning of its conception in Acts chapter 2. We have individuals from all nations, all becoming one in Christ Jesus, being added to the body. And each of these pieces is special, and each of these pieces has a ripple, and each of these pieces touches people that other people in the Lord's church don't touch. Unless you get them here. I've got a secret. We don't all have the same talent. But I can tell you together, it can be a beautiful thing. The church needs you. We need each and every one to serve God and utilize their talents. Let's look at verses 17 through 20 as we continue on. It says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. Do you understand how important you are? I think sometimes people get down on themselves and they think that perhaps what they're doing in service to the Lord is not important. What you do in service to the Lord is important. It is needed. And without you, I want you to understand that Sandyville can fail. Sandyville can fail because your talent is absent. Because your talent is not accounted for. Collectively, we must work together, we will serve together, to do what is best. But we certainly don't all do the same thing. We need to work together in service to the Lord. Every part is so very important. And Christ wants above, I think, so many things, for the body to be united. the body to fight for common purpose. And I understand that we're serving in these different capacities, in these different services, but we're all marching to the tone, to the drums of the head. What the head says, we will do. If the head says evangelize, we will evangelize. If the head says go and serve, if the head says, what does Jesus say? And the church will do, and we'll do it together. Utilizing each of our talents to the best of our ability. Are we united? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul pleads with the church there. He says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment, united for the cause of Christ, following the order to the head, and doing what we can in service to the Lord. There are so many things that can be done here at Sandyville, and there are so many things done here at Sandyville that no one knows about. But God knows. There are many things here at Sandyville that I'm not always aware of. I can't keep track of everything. There's things that the others aren't aware of. We need the body to do its work. We need the body to go to work. The body heals itself. The body helps itself. The body serves in different ways. Has so many responsibilities and obligations to the world. And we can meet it, these obligations, together. If the heart checks out for a day, how does the body do? We're in trouble. The lungs check out for a day. How are we doing? The hands check out. When we have a part of the body missing, when we have a part of the body hurting, when we have a part of the body that's sick, we've got to rally to those areas, try to heal them, try to help them, try to assist them, and serve the Lord together. But without your important piece here at Sandyville, we're missing out on something special. Are you a net positive or a net negative to the body of Christ? Are you contributing so much to the world that you give the church a headache? Is there so much complaining and disputing coming from you that you are hurting the overall body? You understand that you affect the body. Your actions, your conduct, your service affects the body of Christ. Don't think it doesn't. We need you to be net positive. We understand we're not perfect. We understand that we as individuals can't fulfill every aspect of the body, but together, serving together, beside each other, hand in hand, we can accomplish what God desires us to accomplish. We look at verse 21. It says, in the eye cannot say the hand, I have no need of you. You know, I hope that doesn't happen here at Sandyville. But sometimes, bodies do have problems. They have issues. And really, we're seeing that God doesn't want his body to be argumentative. I think God doesn't want his body to have complaining and disputing. I think we see that in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. There are certain things that help the body, and there are certain things that don't help the body. Are you helping the body, or are you hurting the body? Are you the part of the body that eats those 12 donuts? Give the body a stomach ache. We, as members of the church, we affect one another. And we can affect each other in a positive way, but we can also affect each other in a negative way. We have to be careful. We have to be careful in the way we're conducting ourselves. When you look at that verse 21, it says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which think to be less honorable on those, we bestow greater honor, and our unpresented parts have greater modesty. Just because you serve here at Sandyville and everything that you do is not seen, it doesn't mean that it's not important. It's seen by God at the end of the day. But you know what? If there's a bolt on a car, and the bolt on the car said, you know what? I'm not going to do my part today. You know what? You lose a few bolts on your car, you're in trouble. Now, those bolts aren't seen. Those bolts aren't flashy. But I tell you, you lose a bolt on a tractor or a vehicle, you might be in trouble. We need you to do your part. Whatever your part is at Sandyville, it might be private, it might be public, but together, as the body of Christ, we can do the will of our Father in heaven. What can you do to help the church? What can you do to help the body? How can you help care for the body, nurture the body, support the body? What can you do? There's something you can do, I can guarantee it. Can you make a phone call? Can you ride a car? Can you make a visit? Can you do a study with somebody? Now, James chapter 1 and verse 27 says this. It says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Pure and undefiled religion. To visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, I might go a little too deep on this, but it's alright. I'll jump in. I don't think it says in James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, pure and undefiled religion is hire a preacher and he'll visit all the widows and the orphans. Now, you can double check James chapter 1, verse 27, but I think this is a Christian obligation. You know what? I can't visit everyone, and I can't call everyone. I can't support everyone the way they really need supported. I can't care for everyone the way they need to be cared for. I can't do it alone. Okay? I'm just making that as an observation. Okay? It's not coming from a place of negativity or anything of that nature. But you think about it. We are stronger together. We are stronger together. You know, nothing warms my heart more than when I do go to visit somebody and they say so-and-so was here a few hours ago. So-and-so just called a few hours ago. So-and-so, I got this stack of cards from other people at the church. We are stronger. We are better together. You understand that you have an important part here at Candyville. You have talents that are needed here at Candyville. And without you, we are missing something so incredibly special. There are so many things done by the members here at Candyville that are so encouraging. And I don't know of all of them, but I tell you, when I run across them, they warm my heart. They warm my heart. When I hear of good things that are done, visits that have happened, meals that have been made, visits, phone calls that have been made, nothing warms my heart more. Because those things do the body good. And you can do good for the body. You can support the body. Everyone is so important. And without you, we're missing something very special. Now, before I came here to Sandyville, I was kind of a traveling preacher, if you will. I was two Sundays here, one Sunday here, one Sunday here. I was preaching pretty much every Sunday. I got to see a lot of congregations. I got to see a lot of things. You know what's interesting is that the body can get sick. And when the body gets sick, it needs to heal itself. I think that is a good, healthy body that can heal itself when problems happen. Well, what kind of problems happen? There's problems of the world. There's adversities. There's trials. There's tribulations. There's sickness. There's death. There's also battles the church has to have with false doctrine. That's kind of like eating a bad meal. You know, the body of Christ gets a bad meal. What does it need to do? It needs to get that bad meal out. It needs to flush it in some way. But I got to see a lot of congregations of Christ. I got to see a lot of congregations, a lot of different situations. You know, congregations of Christ can fall into different situations. You see that in Revelation. Revelation, there's the letters to the churches of Asia, and we see these churches, and we see the letters written in these various congregations, and they all start, I know your works. You know that the body can get sick. You know that the body can die in certain locations. And you know what? When a body dies, they can do an autopsy. And I think when congregations of Christ die, we can do autopsies, and we can find what was going on. We can find what the problems are. We as the body of Christ have to heal ourselves. Sometimes we have to heal ourselves from some of those physical trials and tribulations. Sometimes we have to heal ourselves in terms of spiritual sickness that comes along. But we need you. You as a member of the Lord's church, you think you can consume all kinds of worldliness and then come here to Sandyville and you think it doesn't affect the church? You as an individual member are important. You as an individual member make an impact on the Lord's church. Are you a net positive or a net negative? Kyle, it's not a big deal if I'm concerned in worldliness. Well, James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever makes himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You as an individual member affect the body. You can get the body a stomachache. You can get the body a headache. You can affect the body in a negative way. Are you net positive or net negative? What are you doing to the body of Christ? Can you get some good deeds to your name? I'm not saying they have to be seen by me. I'm not saying they have to be seen by the elders. I'm saying, has God seen some of your good works for the body? What have you done to support the body? What have you sacrificed for the body? God expects sacrifice from Christians. Are we working together? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we continue on, verses 25 and following. It says, but that the members should have the same care for one another. That's verse 25. It says, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. For if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. When we look at the body of Christ, the body of Christ is supposed to be compact. The body of Christ is supposed to have care. The body of Christ is supposed to have compassion. We are working together for a common cause, and when one suffers, we all suffer. When one is honored or praised, we all are. You understand, you affect the body. You affect the reputation of the body here at Sandyville. Does the reputation, the body at Sandyville, the Church of Christ at Sandyville, where Jesus is head, how's our reputation in the community? You understand that you make up that reputation. Are you a positive to the reputation of the body? Are you a negative to the reputation of the body? We have to work together. We have to be compact. When the body is fit, we rally together and try to support. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, let us not look out for our own interests, but the interests of others. Are we as a body functioning the way that God wants us to function? You understand the body can fail because of your lack of involvement. Because you might not know it, you're one of the bolts here at Sandyville. You're the bolt here at Sandyville, you have a light on the car, you're the steering wheel, I don't know what you are, part of the car, part of the body. I don't know if you're the heart, I don't know if you're the lungs, I don't know if you're the eyes, I don't know if you're the ears. You have an important place here at Sandyville. God knows it, I know it, and I hope you know it. Without you, the church will fail. The church will not function the way that it's supposed to function. Well, Kyle, I've never thought of it that way. You're an important part of the body. And without you, we are not better off. We need to make sure that we are working together, supporting each other, doing those things that are good and right. What can you do to support the body of Christ? What can you do to help the body of Christ? To care for the body of Christ? Jesus' head of the body. There's one body. We see that the body is made up of many members, and these members can either helping or hurting the body. Helping or hurting the body's reputation. Helping or supporting, helping or hurting initiatives at the congregation. We are moving forward together. Moving forward together in a way that we care for, love, and support each other as best we can. Sandyville will be successful. One, because of God. Two, because of the members. And if we're missing you, we're missing a very important part. What are you doing to support the body of Christ? In James chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, to him, to no good, and to not do it, to him it is sin. I tell you, if that doesn't keep you up at night on occasion, I don't know what will. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. There's some stuff to do here at Sandyville. We need you desperately. Without you, we're missing a piece of our heart. We're missing a piece of our feet. We're missing a piece of these essential things that are needed for the church to be successful. I know there's so much here at Sandyville that goes on behind the scenes, and it warms my heart. And it does good for the body. And don't think that the small things that you do that you think are insignificant, are they helping the body? Does a card help the body? I think it does. Does a phone call help the body? Yes, it does. These things might seem small to you, but are you adding to the health of the body and caring for it? Are you part of the body of Christ? Have you been added to the body? You know, when we go over to Acts chapter 2, we have that first message preached on the day of Pentecost. And we see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it says, and Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. When you jump down to verse 41, it says, and those who gladly received the word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. These people were baptized for remission of sin. And then it says they were added. What were they added to? It said they gladly received the word. They were baptized. It said 3,000 souls were added to. What were they added to? If you go to verse 47, I believe, you'll find that answer. It says, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. These people were baptized for remission of sins. They were added. What were they added to? They were added to the church. Well, what's the church? They were added to the body. Are you part of the body? What are you doing to support the body? Are you sacrificing for the body? What are you doing? Do you understand that your actions affect the body? We need you. We need you. We need you. A single grain of rice can tip the scale. We need you here at Sandyville. Perhaps you've not been added to the Lord's church. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Maybe you need to purge the church. Just understand that here at Sandyville, we try to follow the Bible. We try to do what God has said. We try to be the body that God wants us to be. If you're subject to invitation anyway, we ask you to please come as we stand as we sing.